Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the TJ Ritchie Show. Keep it up, baby. I am the green-eyed patriot. Okay, I didn't know there were words on it. You cut it now. Here's what's going on. This is going to be so fun. This is News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Phone number 704-570-1110. Same for the text line, driven by Liberty Buick GMC. Here's what's happening. Right as Breaking Brett Jensen, BBJ, wrapped up his show, the entire computer system crashed, and it still crashed. That's why my intro little announcement thing couldn't play. That's why none of my music played, you know, my intro music and all that. So there are only a few things that can make it out of the radio into your speakers. So I am going to have to talk for an unspecified amount of time until the computer system gets reset and we can play commercials and stuff out of the computers. Now, most hosts on this type of format would not like it. They would say, I've got to have structure. I've prepared my show, and I don't want to be rambling, and I don't want to do da-da-da-da-da. This is my thing. This is my thing. I will talk like I feel like nobody since Cory Booker did that fake talk about nothing filibuster in the Senate to set that record a few weeks ago just to put some attention on himself. I am ready to go. I can handle it. I can handle it. And you are blessed that this has happened with the green-eyed patriot on duty here. Trust me. Trust me. Now, you can call and try to help me out if you want, but the same rules apply. If you're calling, you got to be able to bring it to make it on the air. Just because we're in a little bit of a technical hang up here doesn't mean that the screening process is going to be lighter. I mean, we got to bring it. Okay. So let me get started and we'll just roll. How about that? Okay. Okay then. I'm not even looking at the clock to tell me when I need to take a break and all of that because I'm not doing it. Okay, here is something that has been in my world for, I guess, probably the entire week. I've been asked by a lot of people to comment on something. And the reason why I've been asked to comment on it and people want my opinion is because as you know, I am the world's leading expert on race relations. And everybody wants to know my thoughts on the comedian who calls himself Drewski, not only dressing up, he's black, and not only dressing up in whiteface, but he did complete makeup on his upper body to be white body. And the makeup was good. It was a good job that he did, or his makeup people did. Even made him look like he was a little sunburned. He was wearing bib overalls and he was unhooked on one side with his man boobs hanging out. And he was what he would consider to be imitating a white guy at a NASCAR race. So obviously everybody comes and they go, can you imagine if a white person did that, what would happen and how... You know, their lives would be ruined and they would get canceled and there's no way any white person could do that in blackface. Say, okay, I get it. But when asking my thoughts on it, what I tell people is, and this is the honest truth, it wasn't funny. If it would have been funny, I would give him more of a pass on it. I would have given him credit if it were funny. But it's not funny. He goes to a NASCAR race. He supposedly is saying things as this white redneck to intimidate black people who were at the race. One guy was walking and he stopped the truck and Drewski leaned out and said, "You lost, boy?" Something like that. "Go find something safe to do." So, you know, playing up the racist redneck. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know this, but in my opinion, those parts of the routine were staged. The whole thing may have been staged with everybody who was involved in it. Because when he said that to the black guy that was walking by the side of his truck and all, the guy was like, "Yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir." And he's, you know, whatever. And if you know, and he spit in the guy's direction, like he had tobacco in his mouth and he spit at him. Like that's the way, we white people act anytime we see a black person. It was a pathetic attempt at comedy. Now, again, if he would have nailed the impression of a white person, if he would have not gotten it to where it was factual, it was accurate, and it was funny, I would have been telling people, calm down, it's fine, it was funny. He knew what he was doing. Because if you're going to imitate somebody, you need to know the information about the people. You don't just pick up things and just go, this is what I think a redneck at a NASCAR race would be like, or this is what I know a redneck at a NASCAR race would be like. No, you study it. You first of all, you don't come at it from a, damn. Isaac just said we're back. So now I got to take commercials on regular time and everything. I'm not doing it. Not for a while anyway. Man, it sucks. I wouldn't even have started this right now if I couldn't have filibustered it. Man, y'all suck. Got me all excited because I could have talked the entire 2 hours without even pausing, just ripping. All right. So anyway, it wasn't funny. He didn't do study on it to really know how white people act. And it just failed comedically is all I'm saying. Now, it is true that people would be up in arms if a white person did that. But, I mean, everybody's saying that. So take that out of it. From a performance standpoint, it was terrible. It was terrible because if you're going to do an accurate impression of someone or of a type of person, then you need to have the facts. What are they really like? Not just some stereotype of what you think is funny. And all he was doing is, I mean, he does a lot of this kind of stuff anyway, from what I understand. I'm not a big fan of internet comedians. I don't find most of their little skits to be funny and all that. And I'm not, and if I do, I would say it. I know he's way beyond success level that I'll ever be. And he's only 30 years old, but it's not that. But I'm a comedy person. I know what it's about. And he was going for a shock factor. And he got it. Everybody's talking about him the whole week. He got it. He's the shock factor of it. And I dare say anybody who thought it was funny doesn't know what comedy is. And they don't know what it takes to make good comedy. Now, I have a lot more on this. And the rest of what I have, which was so rudely interrupted by the system getting fixed, by the people around here fixing things in a timely manner, which is BS. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're not supposed to fix things at a radio station in a timely manner. I've never been involved with anything like that. Radio stations are supposed to be broken most of the time. Don't y'all know anything? Dang. All right. So I got plenty more on this, and I dare say that this would be the perspective that you haven't heard yet of all of the social media stuff that's been going around and all of the hosts and the podcasters and everything who've been talking about this. I think my take on it will be a little bit different. So I guess you'll just have to wait and find out. So let's see if those computers are working. Isaac.
More of Dang. The TJ Ritchie Show is coming up.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
He's radio royalty in the Carolinas and Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
All right, everything's back to normal now. Sorry for the, what would you call it? Sorry for the hoopla in the beginning, saying I was going to have to talk for 2 hours straight because the computers were down, but they got them fixed, sadly. Okay, so we're talking about this comedian, calls himself Drewski. He's black, and he did a whole thing where he made himself look white and went to a NASCAR race, and he was wearing overalls and flag tattoos on him. May have been rebel flag tattoos, I don't know. But he just, you know, looked like the lowest common denominator of redneck. And he was out there acting like, and he's singing, "Born in the USA." Like, that's what white people run around singing at events all the time. Rednecks love Bruce Springsteen's "Born in the USA." It's not true. We hate Bruce Springsteen. And that's not a pro-American song, by the way. It should actually be stopped being played at patriotic events because it's anti-American. It's not pro-American. Just like Bruce Springsteen himself. All right, so here's the problem. I would have had no issue with this if the sketch would have been funny, if the impression would have been funny, if he would have known even a smidgen about the way white people act at a NASCAR race or anywhere else for that matter, especially Southern white people. You know, even other black comedians that do, like they do a white people voice, they've always gotten it to where if they do a generic white person voice, it's a nerdy, Yankee kind of voice. "Hey, Tommy, you better get over here or we're going to go, you're going to be grounded for sure." You know, they talk like that if they're doing a generic white person, and if they're doing a Southern white person, it's over the top, you know. So they got that, which is, I mean, it's all right, I guess, but not as funny as it would be if they actually did the comedic groundwork and footwork to be able to understand anything about the way white people really act and then do an impression of that. So white face, not white face, doesn't matter to me. If it would have been funny, I would have laughed. Don't care. Now, here's the thing. I grew up idolizing and emulating black comedy. I was 8 years old, and I wouldn't, when I got lunch money to pay at school for lunch, I would save it, and then I would sneak through the woods behind my house that had a trail that got, it came right up behind Walmart. I would save that money, and I would take it and buy Richard Pryor albums at Walmart. Back then, you could buy cussing albums and all of that stuff at Walmart, and there was no parental advisory, any of that stuff, because Al Gore's wife, Tipper, is the one in the 90s that pushed that. So I could go up there as an eight-year-old, buy Richard Pryor albums, come home, listen to them in my headphones, big old giant headphones, so my parents didn't know what I was listening to. And I would painstakingly go through every single routine until I could do it word for word, breath for breath, exactly, with cuss words I shouldn't have been saying at 8 years old, but that's when it started. And that's what made me want to be an entertainer. Because if you don't know, for 20, 30 years, I was on a funny radio show. I was the funny man on a funny radio show. Now, what I have noticed over the years, and I think it is so played out right now, as a person who studies comedy, too many black comedians rely on race humor. racial humor. You know, how many times do they say black people and white people are different? Black church, white church is different. Okay, we know. That's been in every black comedian's routine since the 70s, since Richard Pryor started doing it in the 60s and 70s. We got it. Come up with something else. Now, one comedian, a black comedian that doesn't do that, is Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's stand-up comedy is stories. It's one story after another that he has created and has a little bit of truth to it, and he embellishes for the funny parts, and he can be really, really funny. He's not constantly talking about white people do this, but you got a black family, they're going to do this, you know. And just, this is me personally. I know a lot of people, most people still find that to be humorous, and I'm not offended by it when they're making fun of white people. I'm not offended by it at all. I just don't think it's funny anymore. There are no more ways to tell white people and black people are different jokes. And you know I'm right. White people be, and then black people be. Okay, so. And I basically wanted to be a black comedian when I was growing up. No joke. I thought that was going to be my hook to show business. Is that I was the white, rural southern guy that did black comedy. So trust me, I pay attention to these things. So, again, not offended by, and I, from what I understand, I don't know, because I don't watch a lot of internet comedians. I don't watch a lot of people who do sketches and stuff out in public, or the, you know, things of that nature. If they're bringing the public into their pranks or their sketches or things like that, it bothers me that they're annoying people on the street and things like that. So from what I understand, though, he does this kind of thing a lot. But I would dare say the way he presented his white character in this particular sketch does tell me that he thinks very, very little of white people. And that he, as they say, doesn't have the comedy chops, the way they used to say it in the back in the day. He doesn't have his comedy chops. Means he's not that funny. But I also know that funny and comedy is objective. Or is it subjective? It's one of the objectives. Meaning, what's funny to me may not be funny to you, and vice versa. But what's funny to me is actually funny. If it's not funny to me, it's not funny. And you can Google that. Look that up. And there'll be proof. All right. So if you got something you want to say about this, if somebody calls or has a good comment on the text, we'll stick with it for a few minutes. If not, we're moving on. Moving on. But either way, I'm going to tell you the difference between black church and white church in the next segment. No, I'm kidding. All right. We're coming right back. Hang on.
The TJ Ritchie Show.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
He's America's coolest conservative. Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 at 99.3 WPT.
All right. It looks like my, I guess my unofficial co-host now, the hater from Minnesota that texts in every night and calls me a white supremacist or whatever, I'm just going to start because I don't know, again, whether this is a man or a woman. I don't know this person's race. So I have tried to build a profile in my head from the writings and everything. So I think that Minnesota is a woman of Hispanic descent. I don't have any solid, any information other than just what's in my head. So in my analysis, my pinpoint analysis of Drewski's white face routine that's all over the internets now. And again, I wasn't even going to talk about this, but the people were demanding it. Everybody that I know was asking my opinion. Even my daughter texted me from Nashville and said, did you see that? What do you think about it? I said the same thing. I wouldn't think anything negative about it if it would have been funny. So I'm going to call, instead of just calling her Minnesota every time, she is, as far as, until we know any differently, she is a lovely Latina from Minnesota, so we'll call her Minnie. So now on, whenever Minnie starts, dealing her hate in here at me, and I say, oh, here we go, Minnie, I see you. You got some attention. Then you'll know who I'm talking about. It'd be a little inside thing with all of the TJ Radio family members. Okay. So at 7:29, she says, TJ, don't you have something to lash out at Democrats today like you usually do? Your interpretation of Drewski is completely wrong. He truly revealed how racist redneck behave in public. Please move on to something else. And then at 7:29, liar is what said. Yes, I do. She said, I can help you with that. Or this person says, I can help you with that if you want to find out my race and gender. I do. I thought I had already asked. But yeah, tell me, please. But here's something that I do. I was going to be through with this, but several people have texted in and said, not just, I don't have to say texted in, they texted and said, comparing Drewski's sketch that he did where he put on all the white face makeup and went and pretended to be an over-the-top redneck at a NASCAR race. They compare it to Dave Chappelle's sketch from Chappelle's Show that is a classic about the blind black white supremacist. It was a sketch about a man who was old, but he was orphaned as a child, and the orphanage took him in. And the ladies that worked at the orphanage that raised him were racist. They were white supremacists, but he was a black child, but he was blind. That's brilliant. You hear me? Brilliant for comedy. And Drewski's most incredible day as a comedian will never, ever get one inch closer to Dave Chappelle, especially that sketch. They're not even in the same universe. That's like saying Ohtani, who plays for the Dodgers, is in the same category with a four-year-old T-ball player. That's how far apart they are as far as solid comedy. Because that sketch that Dave Chappelle did had depth to it. And I dare say, as a person who's grown up studying this, I was a theater major, I was all of the stuff. Big Saturday Night Live fan from the time I could understand what they were saying up until the past, 20 years, I haven't watched it because it stopped being funny. But that sketch from Chappelle's Show, in my opinion, is the absolute most brilliant, funniest sketch ever to be done in sketch comedy. I mean, I can sit and name off some of my favorite Saturday Night Live sketches with Chris Farley and Eddie Murphy and all of those. None compares to that. And it's because the writing of it and the painstaking depth that it went into to make sure that it was solid, it was believable, even though it was so ridiculous. They take some concept that's so ridiculous that just the thought of a person of a black person who's blind and can't see that he's black was raised to be a white supremacist. That, just saying that's funny. It's outlandish and ridiculous. But what they did with that is that they took it and made something so ridiculous, somewhat believable. Because for comedy to really work, it has to have an element of truth to it. It has to have some genuine properties in it. It has to be authentic in some way or another. Even if it's completely ridiculous from the concept, it still has to have that in it. It has to have that element. And this Drewski thing didn't have it. That's all I'm saying. But if you compare the two, then stop it, please. And I guess Minnie is not going to follow through and tell what her race and gender are. I'm still waiting on that. But, and somebody say, I need Minnie's number. I have ways to figure out things. No. Silly Willie. Minnie is a member of our radio family. She probably listens more than anybody else. She listens because she hates me. That's a strong bond between host and listener. And one thing I think, one reason that Minnie hates me so much is because she knows that I'm right. Most of the time she agrees and hates to admit it. And I think a lot of people are that way. Like, there are a lot of people who are probably not agreeing with me now because they watched that Drewski sketch and thought it was funny. And now, after I've explained how unfunny it was and why, they're probably like more defiant. That was funny. Well, he didn't know what he's talking about. It was funny. And then again, you think what you want. Like I said before, that's, you know, whether you think something is funny or not is your opinion. All I'm saying is that it's not even in the same ballpark with the brilliance of Dave Chappelle's blind black white supremacist sketch. See, I'm here to help you people. I'm here to enhance your lives. That's what I'm here for. I'm not here just to argue, you know, issues and everything. You ask me about anything, I can help you. Now, I'm sure many, many people during the whole thing that I've been explaining, they say, well, you're not funny, they say to their radio. You're not funny. Well, maybe not to you, but to some people I am. My mama thinks I'm funny. And she always told me that that's all that matters. It only matters what your mama thinks, son. That's what she said. I was like, okay. Well, then I like my new perm too. That's what I would. Okay, hang on. We got more coming up.
It's TJ Ritchie. Radio, podcasts, and cool social media content. Get all the TJ you can handle at WBT.com/TJ. Now, back to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Okay. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what we have here is what we call, or what I call, progress. It's what the dirty Brits call progress. So, I've told you about this this person that texts every night, calling me nasty names, insulting me, and acting like I am the devil walking earth. I took a guess by the way the texts were worded and things like that, that she was that it was a woman. And I threw in that I think maybe she is Hispanic. Didn't really have any concrete evidence on that. And she's from Minnesota, so I talk about Minnesota from time to time. So now, tonight, her name is officially Minnie. And she said, Caucasian, female, Democrat to the core. And then said, I guess you're surprised, TJ. It's like, no, I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. I mean, I knew it was a woman. I was more sure about that than the race part of it. And then she wrote, I guess I'm a dirty, trashy girl, right? Like a female lib. Ha ha ha. Now, I haven't lashed out back at her and called her any names or anything, because I figured that, you know, if I didn't do that, then we would have a better chance of not just, you know, communicating with each other in nasty ways and all of that. Now, she can she'll probably continue to call me nasty things and, you know, the typical liberal way of lashing out at somebody when that person doesn't agree with them or happens to have an opinion that is not left-leaning about race relations and things of that nature. And automatically they're a white supremacist or a racist. And that used to shut down arguments because white people were cowards. Because even though they knew that they weren't racist and they weren't saying anything that was racist, just because the left identified them as racist and put that mark on them, they'd shut down. That's how you shut down arguments. And it doesn't happen. It's never happened with me, because I know that I'm not a racist. And I don't even really get into arguments and try to prove myself not to be, because it's ridiculous. So I'm not going to sit and say, I'm not racist. I da 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 da. And I have da da da. And I da da da. I don't do that. I could do that. I work for a black owned business. How about that? But I just think that when people, again, stop looking at each other as members of groups and just stop looking at each other as, you disagree with me, so you must be a white supremacist, or you disagree with me, so you must be whatever. Now, I'm not saying that that Minnie and I are going to, you know, end up being in the same supper club or anything, because I don't hang out with Democrats. I'm kidding. I have Democrat friends. I just don't have respect for them. I like them. I just don't have any respect for them. Again, I'm joking. But people one-on-one can find common ground. Pitting a group against another group is never going to happen. So it's my goal that our exchanges, at least on her end, become more civil. And I think this also proves of what just what a wonderful person I am. Don't you think that's what it proves, Isaac?
I could not agree more.
You know, I'm taking this sad, sad liberal woman and I'm reaching out an olive branch just to prove what a wonderful person I am after she's called me the most vile things you could call a person. But that's what I do. I connect with people. I'm a connector, ladies and gentlemen. I am a connector. So I'm going to say that Minnie, as we affectionately call her now, Minnie and I will be besties someday. And I will change her. Well, I mean, not change her, but change her opinion about me. And I don't really think that she believes those things about me. I think that she's just like, you know, most women, where when they get mad about something, they're so emotional, they try to grab the most hurtful thing that they can say to a man and throw it at him. You know, women tend to do that. That's why we always have those clips of the crazy liberal women who go overboard talking about violence and killing MAGA people and all of that kind of stuff. Screaming at the top of their lungs in people's faces and all, because they get all those emotions riled up and they don't know how to put into the proper words. You know, they don't know how to express them. So they just lash out with the most insulting, mean, vicious things that they can say. And that's not just liberal women. All women do that from time to time. Because I don't know if anybody has ever pointed this out. Women tend to be a lot more emotional most of the time than men do. But that's the way God made them, and we love that. We love how God made women. I know I would be nowhere in this world if it weren't for mine. Well, my God and my women. My woman. See what I did there. Oh, always with the jokes with me, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, everybody, let's welcome a white liberal, Minnie, as the honorary co-host of the show. And thanks to everybody who's sending in nice texts. That's cool. I like that. Gigi said, "Hey, I just started to listen to your show. I love your style. I have no idea what is going on, what I just missed, but I love your show and your radio personality. Cool. All right. Well, then that's a fail on my part. So I should have done a better job as host of resetting everything. So I apologize, Gigi. Yeah, that makes me feel bad. Quickly, I was talking about a black comedian who put on whiteface and went and acted like a redneck. And he wasn't funny. And people found it offensive. And then this lady is always calling me names and listens every night so she can hate on me and insult me. And I was describing how now we are going to be friends." I believe that. All right. We have so much to come in the next hour. I usually don't take one topic and then take phone calls about it and text and all that and spread it out over an entire hour. I like to keep things moving and going, but every now and then you gotta keep people on their toes, do a little something different. Can't get predictable, right? So, if you were predicting that TJ on the News would be coming up next, well, you are absolutely right, because it is. We can get Lonnie in here. We'll get started. right after the top of the hour. Hang on.
More of the TJ Ritchie
Show. Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Live from the big city of Charlotte, North Carolina, it's TJ on the News.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is that time once again. Oh, the most special time of night on this show. It is time with young Isaac and Lonnie Ray for TJ on the News. Lead story. Y'all know about that? Nothing. You know that line?
Of course.
Yeah. This is something that we already knew because we talked about it, I think, when it first broke, but now we've got the actual statistics. Most Americans take their phone to the bathroom with them now, especially young people. I don't know how they, well, yeah, dude, I was going to say, I don't know, what do they do? Just sit and watch young people go to the bathroom and say, oh, you got their phone? But they did ask them. I'll get to that in a minute. A new study found it ups your risk of hemorrhoids by almost 50%. Researchers polled 125 adults just before they went in for their routine colonoscopies. But then how do they know about young people? Young people don't get colonoscopies.
I had one.
I know you do, Isaac, because you do it for the fun of it.
I'm about due for one.
Yeah, you're getting on close to 40, so yeah. You're going to have to do it. All right, but anyway, this is what they said. 2/3 of them admitted that they use their phone on the toilet. The top two things they say they use it for is to catch up on news and scroll through social media. What does that matter? So the doctors doing the colonoscopies looked for evidence of hemorrhoids and found that the people who use their phones in the restroom are 46% more likely to have hemorrhoids. So now, if this is true, let me tell you something. Young peoples, stop it. Take it from me, an old dude that suffers from the occasional hemorrhoidal flare-up. You do not want that as part of your life. It is excruciating. Listen, you hear me? It's excruciating. Put the phone down, go to the bathroom, get out. Get in, get out. They say that you shouldn't be in there more than 5 minutes. But when you take your phone, you're in there for a lot longer and all that. And that's evidently that position is, it puts a strain on. I'm glad I'm not on TV right now. You'd see the hand gestures that I'm making and try to explain this, but you get it. My wife actually bought me for Christmas. She said it was a funny gift, but it was a sand dial of a guy sitting on the toilet, and you're supposed to turn it over when you go in there, and by the time it's finished, you should be out. And I got like, I'm a grown man. You don't tell me how long I can be in the bathroom.
Just watch the sand go out.
But they say you should set a timer when you go in, and if you haven't done anything in 5 minutes, then come back again later. It says, quote, take a breather and try again later. Okay.
So you can reset?
Yeah, I guess so. So you can go do something to cause a shakeup or whatever. I don't know. Next story. Oh, big old jet Atlanta, don't carry me I would be so mad if I were on this flight. United Flight 1996 from Chicago O'Hare to San Juan, Puerto Rico was delayed 3 hours when the captain spilled coffee in the cockpit. The Airbus A321neo was already taxiing to take off when this happened and had to return to the gate. 3 hours they were delayed because if you spill something in the cockpit and it gets on any instruments or anything like that, it all has to be cleaned and inspected. And so it took 3 hours to get that flight back out. So how in the world, because pilots are supposed to be so buttoned up, as they say, how does a pilot go into the cockpit with a beverage in a container that can spill? I don't understand.
I don't want to be on that flight.
Yeah, I don't think that's a very conscientious pilot.
Yeah. try it again tomorrow.
Yeah, because you know you're not, you know, especially if your coffee's got, you know, sweetener in it and cream and all of that, it, the instruments get sticky. And, you know, it's dangerous to have a sticky instrument. Y'all know that.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody knows that, y'all do. So, yeah, I mean, that's pilot error right there. That's just you not paying attention. It shouldn't even be allowed. There should be a rule. The pilot can't have anything in the cockpit that would spill anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, just get a lid.
Yeah, they make them now. They make them now. You know, here in the new technology, you can get a coffee cup that has a lid on it that only will allow the beverage to come out when you press a button and turn it up.
Yeah.
I could just picture this pilot walking in there with a styrofoam cup like we have down the hall.
Yeah.
he hit the 10 on the Keurig when he should have hit 8. So it's a little bit too full. Yeah, he's walking in there shaking, and we go to taxi. Oh, my God, I spilled coffee everywhere. Idiot. Next story.
All we need is just a little patience.
So, you know, somebody sometimes will ask you to go ahead of you in the checkout line because they, quote unquote, only have a few things. Now, I've never had anybody ask me that. I've offered it to people. If I have a lot of stuff and they only have a few things, I'll say, hey, would you like to go ahead of me? I think I would feel differently about it if they asked, though.
Yeah.
If they asked, yeah. You're not going.
So a 65-year-old man in Florida named Daniel Kennel actually tried to cut in line at a Publix. They felt the need to put a Publix grocery store in the story, but I think most people know what Publix is, right? but the couple ahead of him declined the offer. They was like, no. So he tried putting his stuff up on the little belt anyway, and there was an argument. So he got upset, left the cart, a.k.a. the buggy, and stormed out of the store. So the couple went on and did their thing. They left the store, started loading their stuff into their car. And then Daniel ran up behind them and sprayed them both in the face with bug spray. And then ran off. So the cops were called. They tracked him down. He was arrested and charged with 2 counts of aggravated battery with great bodily harm. One of the victims was hospitalized, but sounds like they'll be okay. I mean, a little bug spray in the face is going to get you hospitalized?
They will blind you.
I don't know. That could be bad. With the open eyes.
Well, and if he's an exterminator and he's got some of the real deal stuff, then yeah.
Yeah,
that's bad business. I may even try to get attempted murder on him. But I hate when people think they don't have to obey the rules that everybody else does. That's what gets me.
Yeah.
People breaking in line is one of my biggest pet peeves. I don't play that. Mm-mm.
And then they try to pretend like they're not getting in front of
you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it.
Yeah, I'm gonna trip you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or even this old man, they're like, nah, you're not gonna just cut in front of us, and then he does it anyway.
Like, and then he may have said, can I jump in front of y'all? I only have a few things. And he probably had about as many things as they did. That's what I picture. And finally,
you know the definition of a baller.
There's a woman in Northern England. Her name is Julie Williams. She's selling her house. It's in the news because her house has a ball pit for adults in it. Right outside her bedroom, there's a ball pit. And she and her friends get in it and drink champagne and play around.
Oh.
Sure, that's innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all the way.
She said whoever buys the place will probably get rid of the ball pit. But if they have kids, maybe they won't. The rest of the house is lovely. It's very lovely and very adult, meaning it's not decorated in kid stuff. The list price is just over $1 million. So obviously she's a lady of means. So if y'all are building a house that's a, you know, over $1 million house, whatever, you can put something in there like a ball pit, would you go ball pit or one of those foam pit things? I'm going foam pit.
If
I can have one of those slides that would throw you up and then boom down into the foam pit.
If I had the slide or a trampoline, I'd go ball pit.
I might go ball pit. Yeah.
Really?
Because you get stuck in that foam. I mean, I know I've got stuck in the foam. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this. Either way, if I'm submerged in foam or balls, I'm not going to be happy. and I'm not going to be able to get out of it by myself. I'll be down in my old back. I won't be able to climb out of that thing. I'm sitting here right now, and my back feels like a gargantuan monkey fist, and I'm about to have a back spasm just thinking about it. So you come off that slide, and you land on your butt, and now you're just stuck out there, and you can't move. You know, got to try to climb out of that thing.
We might have to get you one of those first alerts.
Yeah,
you
know? Well, I would have to have somebody on the side with a rope. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Throw me a lifeline out there.
We'll get you one of those mini Timu cranes.
That's what I need. Yeah. But I wouldn't need that very long after I finish losing these last 81 vanity pounds. I'll be good. All right, that's it for tonight's TJ on the News.
The TJ Richey Show. Identifying liberalism. And mocking it relentlessly. This is the TJ Richey Show. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
All right. Oh, it's a silly night here, y'all. It's so silly. And it seems like the sun's going down faster now. We're getting up into fall. I know fall's not until 22nd of September. Like people always say, like, all right, well, this, you know, summer's over or whatever. Summer's not over. Say it's going to be summer until September 22nd. Okay, well, you know what we're talking about. Summer season is over. Summer activities are pretty much over. I get it. Okay. It is, I think we haven't played an audio clip of people acting a fool yet, have we tonight? I don't think so. Yep. So let's, remedy that. This is a man who pretends to be a woman, and he's upset about the new executive order about not being able to use women's bathrooms if you're a man. And this is how he's explaining it. Listen.
The executive order essentially redefined gender as immutable and assigned at birth, and it erases trans people essentially entirely.
Okay, stop. It didn't redefine gender as the gender you were assigned at birth. Okay. Your sex is the way you were born. You weren't assigned a gender at birth. You were born either a boy or a girl, except in rare extreme cases where some babies are born with both sexual sex organs and chromosomes and not chromosomes, hormones and stuff. So it's not redefining gender as the sex you were assigned at birth. And you're not assigned a sex at birth. You're just born one way or the other. Okay, can you start it over, please, Isaac? Okay, so go ahead.
The executive order essentially redefined gender as immutable and assigned at birth, and it erases trans people essentially entirely.
It doesn't erase trans people essentially and entirely. Nobody's trying to erase trans people. Nobody's going to come and rub you out, as the gangsters would say. You know, like the mobsters would say, you know, you're going to rub him out, meaning kill him. Nobody's doing that. Stop. Nobody's doing that. But see, that's the verbiage that they use because they want it to seem like if you don't go along with them, then you are killing them. It's violence not to go along with their twisted thoughts of reality. You know, if you are using the common sense that everybody in the world has lived with since the beginning of time, and that every culture, every country's peoples know is the truth. If you don't agree with that, then you are killing them, erasing them, and so forth. And that's what causes so many people to get up in arms and lose it and think they're trying to kill me, so I need to act out in violence to protect what I am owed and what I deserve and so forth and so on. And they should be, just like I'm doing now with this clip, stopping it and correcting it as we go. They should be done that way instead of pandered to and coddled. Because you're not doing them any favors. And they know, the Democrats know that. They're using them. They use the trans people. They use everybody that they claim is marginalized. They use them all. They're just disgusting users and manipulators. Okay, go ahead.
And then it designates that gendered spaces, intimate spaces like locker rooms and bathrooms have to be utilized based on your birth sex, like period, point blank. I kind of have to choose between using no bathroom or using a bathroom that isn't correct for me, right?
Okay. So what should happen then? Should you be given your way in order to appease you and make everybody else that works with you uncomfortable and make them have to go out of their way? All the women that don't want to see a man in the ladies' room, they should have, it's the onus is on them to go find another place to use the bathroom if they don't want to be in the bathroom with a man. So you can have your way. That doesn't seem fair at all now, does it? Doesn't seem fair to me. Now, you look at it as, like, I always try to see it from everybody's perspective on this. But he has been conditioned to believe that this is the right way to do things. He's been conditioned by the professional Democrats and the people who benefit from, who profit from, who have power from these people doing what they want them to do, causing a breakdown in the system. That's what the Democrats are after. That's that communism. Breakdown in the system, however you can. They don't care about people whether they're marginalized or whether they're not. They just want a breakdown of the system. So this poor guy, I mean, he's been brainwashed to believe that he is perfectly normal and that he deserves special treatment. And if people don't give him special treatment, then they are erasing him. They are committing violent acts against him because they're trying to erase him as a person. So when it's somebody like this, and he's not out yelling, screaming, and acting, you know, like an idiot, like some of the more vocal activists are, he's just saying, this is what it is, and I feel badly about it, and this is the way I see it, because that's the way he's been conditioned. And he's been conditioned to feel that way by a bunch of sorry people. So, yeah, a lot of times I try to take it on an individual basis of saying, this guy, he's not being a jerk about it. He just doesn't know any better because this is what he's been taught. So, okay. Some nurses got fired. I don't know if you've heard about this story. If you haven't, then you're going to be disgusted by it probably. And that's what I'm here to do, is disgust you. So we'll do that next. Hang on.
Jay Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Late, live, and local. It's the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Yo. Thank you for listening tonight and every night. Some of these texts that are coming in here they're not insulting or anything. I don't follow them. It's not making sense. Like one of them I could have sworn was just a delayed delivery. You know how sometimes text messages will do that? Because I would think that this would be going to Breaking Brett Jensen. Because it says, will you please communicate to, and then names a congressman. We expect him to join Congressman Massey in voting for. Wouldn't that sound like that'd be going to Brett Jensen, not me? I don't talk to politicians. He does.
I saw that. I didn't know what that was about. That's weird.
Maybe it's a spam. You think? No, but here's the thing. Brett may not want me telling this, but I think it'd be okay. We have a kind of a code thing I've asked him to do, and he obliges me. So when Brett Jensen, he's on from 6 to 7, and I'm on right after. So I come in, we say cross over each other because he's leaving, I'm coming in, we talk and all for a few minutes. And I've asked him whenever he has politicians in here, on his last segment, that I'm going to be coming in to make sure to introduce me to them by their political party. Because not that I'm ever going to be rude, but I'm going to be more receptive to the Republicans, obviously, than I would be to Democrat politicians. So who did he have in here last night, Isaac? Who was it?
Charlotte City Councilman Edwin Peacock.
Right. So he introduced him to me when I came in. He's like, TJ, this is Republican Councilman Edwin Peacock. And I was like, oh, hey, goodness, because we had met before. Evidently, I just blew him away with a speech to the Rotary Club one time. Isn't that what you got out of that? That I was the best speaker they've ever had?
That's what the man said.
Okay, be that as it may. Here's the story that's just... it's another one of those sign of the times things, I believe. There is a California urgent care staff, meaning the nurses and the front desk people and all of that, in Santa Barbara, and they've been fired because they made a TikTok that was taken inside the medical exam rooms that went viral over the Labor Day weekend. And they posted a compilation of pictures in the clinic joking about the patients. On the exam table, how it has that paper that comes over the exam table, and there were a couple of the nurses standing over it posing with a thumbs up and smiling real big, where there had been a stain left on that paper from a sick patient. And said, are patients allowed to leave you guys gifts? And then another said, guess the substance. And then, so they're making fun of these patients. Make sure you leave your healthcare workers sweet gifts like these. And let's see. It looks to be 8 employees. Adults doing this. So they've all gotten fired, as they should have. The sign of the times part is we are dealing with a society now that just cannot refrain from trying to be famous, TikTok famous. Look how funny we are. Look at this. This is great. And it goes with people making fun of their customers at businesses who have gotten fired. Like there have been some, some Starbucks employees who come online and start making fun of some of their customers and all that. And then they don't know why they got fired. This kind of thing. Just do your job. You're supposed to be above that kind of thing. You work in an urgent care. People only come to you in desperate need of your assistance because they're sick or you know, they're hurt or something like that. And then when they leave, you make fun of them. You post all over social media. You're stupid little, you know, you think you're being funny and you're just being idiots. You need to grow up. And I'm glad they got fired. I hope they're never hired in the medical industry again. Because they don't need to be. They don't have the mentality and the disposition to handle being in the medical industry. They're not healers. They're clowns. Can you imagine? Maybe that's your elderly parent or grandparent. And you look and the TikTok's gone viral and you recognize the people that work in the urgent care office where you just were and they're making fun of your parent or they're making fun of you. But you see, everybody is just like in this look at me society. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I should be an entertainer. I should be in the spotlight. I'm funny. I'm witty. I'm silly. I'm cute. I all of the things. And that's why I'm, constantly talking about how dangerous it is for our society that we have a generation now that refuses to act like adults. You got 40-year-old men spending tons of money on Legos. You know how much a Lego set costs now? Like some of those Star Wars Legos things are like $250, $500. They're not marketed to kids, I can tell you that. And then you got people who are supposed to be, remember COVID? We're supposed to be paying homage to all of the healthcare workers. You know, that got thrown around so much. And I believe that. I believe that good doctors and good nurses and other medical personnel, they do deserve our highest respect for what they do. But not when they act like goofy children. They act like goofy children like this bunch, then they need extra ridicule. Well, I'm surprised, though, in California they were able to fire them. You know, California's so screwed up in the way that they handle business. But I bet you there ends up being a class action suit against the urgent care for firing them. You can't fire us for making TikToks. The TikTok it's our own, that's my TikTok. You don't have any say over it. And probably some jury or judge in a civil case will give them a payout. That's how screwed up California is. Mm. I can't even imagine being that stupid. It's weird. Okay. Well, we're coming up on our last segment. What's it going to be about? I don't know. How should I know? I'm not the host. I don't plan these things. I just see where the universe guides me. We're going to do the next segment like a liberal would. The universe is going to guide us. I'm going to break out my crystals. Hopefully they're charged. And they can tell me what to do next. So that'll be fun. Hang on.
The DJ Richie Show. He's radio royalty in the Carolinas. And Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
I'm getting a tech neck. I've been looking down at my computer all day. Got the tech neck going on. Not that anybody cares. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't come here to bleed all over you. I'm here to enhance your listening experience. What I'm here to do. Okay, along with being a, I don't know, you say an expert political analyst, I'm also, an amateur couples counselor and relationship expert. You know, between the men's and the women's. I know everything there is to know about women. That's not a joke. It's because I've spent my entire life trying to please women. Most men, if they're good guys, have done the same thing. They just may not stop and think about it in those terms. Little boys start by always trying to please their mothers. And they get the most upset is when their mom is upset at them. And then it becomes their wives. Then the wives and the mothers go to battle. Then if there are two boys in the family and they both get married to women, then those sisters-in-law can bond over how much crap they both talk about their mother-in-law. So it's simple. It's the circle of life, so to speak. But I found this video on social media to be so refreshing. It's a young lady. She's sitting in her car, and she has come to, maybe you would say an epiphany about men. And it goes against all things that she has been, I'm sure, indoctrinated with as a young woman in today's modern world. So let's listen and see what you think about it. Here we go.
I mean, crazy. But I think that men actually mean what they say. Like, no hidden message, no secret meaning, no emotional code to crack. Just yes, no, up, down. But 9 times out of 10, I interpret it way differently. He says I'm tired. What I hear is tired of me, of this relationship, of life. Maybe I'm too much. Is he gonna leave? Like, should I back off? But the reality is, he just yawned. He says, oh, I didn't notice. He doesn't pay attention, doesn't care. He didn't notice the thing I changed. Clearly, he doesn't value me. He really actually didn't even notice. His brain didn't register it. He says, I'm not hungry. He doesn't like my cooking. He's mad. He ate somewhere else. He must be hiding something. Why isn't he hungry? What did I do? Actually, it's because he had 2 burritos from the gas station at 4 p.m. They say it's blue. We're like, but what does that mean? Is it sad? Is it deep? Is it about me? No, it's just blue.
Exactly. Now, I don't know what it is about young people now when they get on social media and they make a video, they can't complete a solid thought. That's what all of those cut edits were in there where it didn't sound like the normal flow of a person talking, because they'll say like three words and then cut it and then edit together the rest of the sentence. It's like they have to say three words, stop, and I don't know what I'm going to say for the rest of that sentence, but okay, now I figured it out. I'll say it, boom, cut it together. It's the weirdest thing. And it shows a lack of communication skills, obviously. What do they call that? Jump cut. They call them jump cuts, Isaac. Mm-hmm. It's sad. If you can't speak for a minute and a half about something that's on your mind without having to edit it 13 times. But that's neither here nor there in this conversation. So, yeah, men are the most simple creatures on earth. And it's so much more difficult on women when they don't realize just how simple men are. Now, I don't mean simple as in the caveman. I don't mean that. I'm not going to sit here and bash men being stupid and the women are just smarter. And that. It's not that at all. I don't do that. We're just different. And I think the reason that so many young people, young women, are surprised when they figure that out is because they've been told constantly that men just don't understand them, and that men don't put in the effort to understand women, and men don't put in the effort. All they care about is drinking beer and figuring out, even if they've never cheated on you, when they're going to cheat on you and when they're going to do you wrong. And men need to be treated like children. And it's so frustrating that I don't just have two kids. I have three, if you count my husband. How many times do we see that, you know, play out in real life and on TV and on commercials and all of that? Men are constantly made out in popular culture to be idiots. Especially white men. White straight men are the target of every group that looks to gain points in society with other quote unquote marginalized group. It's like the more you can hate on masculine white men, it seems like the more you think your value is in society. Where if women would just come to realize he chose you, you chose him. He doesn't think exactly the way you do. He doesn't talk exactly the way you do. He doesn't feel like he needs to communicate every single thought that hits his head. And the fact that you do is fine. The other reason that I think women are so shocked by this is because they reject now the fact that God made men and women. And he made men one way and women the other way, a different way. Because if you say to a modern young woman who's just been indoctrinated at a Marxist by Marxist professors in a university that God made us different, she's going to think you're just a complete idiot. God, the Lord, made us different. Let me give you an example. I've been getting up at the same time every morning for 30 years to do a morning show. I still do. I still do a syndicated morning show. My wife has, since our kids are grown, they're out of the house, and she's taken a part-time job, keep herself busy, keep her mind working, the whole thing. Well, two mornings a week, she is up at one point at the same time I am. Now, when she gets up, she wants to talk. Because I do that morning show from my house, and even when I go upstairs and I'm doing the show, I can hear her downstairs on the phone first thing in the morning, either talking to our daughter or talking to her sister or talking to somebody. I'm not like that. It's not to say I'm not a morning person. I am, obviously. But I don't want to hit the floor talking or listening. No, I don't mind listening. But it would come off like I'm in a bad mood or I just don't want to talk. It's not that. We're built differently. Our minds work differently. I can't imagine, cannot imagine getting on the phone right when I wake up and walking around the house talking in a full conversation while I'm getting ready. Can you, Isaac, can you imagine that?
I could not do it. I'm not a morning person either.
Mm-hmm. Like women do it all the time. Just talk, talk, talk. And we love them for it. We love you ladies. I know I do. I love all of you. And you all look so thin tonight. I forgot to mention that. And I don't know if y'all are doing something different with your hair, but it looks great. Love it. Love it. I'm going to have to bring y'all some flowers tomorrow. Okay, so that's it. Kind of a weird show for tonight, starting out with the technical difficulties and all that. But, hey, it was fun. Mark Levin's next. Remember, God loves you and ain't nothing you can do about it.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.